Steve, Matty, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I mean, in terms of the job, I'm great. There's a lot to talk about. As a sports fan in this city, we've had better days.
Before we get to that, if you went to the Masters, which golfer would you want to follow around the course?
Okay, I'm glad you asked this, because I was listening to the promo before, and I am not rooting for Rob. And no offense to Rob, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he did not seem that excited about the ability, the chance to go to the Masters. Like, that is a once in a lifetime. There are very, very few people that ever get a chance to go to the Masters. So I wanted a little bit more excitement. I guess it would be Rory. You know, in the end, golf is you want to have those couple alpha dogs. So for me, it'd be Rory, because it's certainly not going to be. I mean, Tiger, because he might not be there in the final two rounds. So it'd be Rory McIlroy.
Not bad with that. Just be aware of flying clubs. So you never know. You never know.
I'm fine. That's good. It keeps you on your toes.
Could you imagine if he threw a club in the crowd? Guys would be busting each other just to try to get the club to take it home. So that would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, beyond that, we live in this sad society where people, like, they'd want to get hit so then they could sue. it's like, well, personal damages, $7.8 million is what I need.
Yes. In the teeth.
Sadly, you're probably right, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Nazem Kadri, what's going on behind the scenes with Kadri, and do you think this is the beginning of the end with him in Maple Leaf Land?
Well, first, in terms of what's happening, we're not sure. You hear, just whispers that there was some partying that was going on. And the only reason that you even speculate that is, Peter Horchuk mentioned when he was in Nashville, when Radulov, getting suspended during the playoffs because they were partying in Arizona. So whatever's going on, it has to be off the ice, because Kadri's been one of the team's better players. And if you were going to suspend guys for lackadaisical play on the ice, well, then you would go after the first line. I mean, it's stuff that's off the ice. And I hope this isn't the end for Kadri, because he is an exciting player. And, he's a guy that could certainly grow into a legitimate, I won't say star, I'll at least go starlight. He could certainly be that. And for him, this is a chance for reinvention. Because if the Leafs didn't care about him, they wouldn't have held a press conference. They wouldn't have cared. They would have just like, you know what, we're going to reduce your minutes, or you wouldn't even know about it. The fact they brought it up, the fact they made it public, is showing they want to try to make this work with Kadri, even if it is by tough love. Tough love means they're doing their best to try to get the most out of him. So I hope it's not the end for him. I hope he can, I don't want to say grow up, because, he's only 24, but he's 24. He's been in the NHL for a couple of years. I hope we see growth from him, and I hope he learns from this. And then on the other end, I hope the Maple Leafs do more in terms of talent acquisition to put better players around him.
Yeah, Matt, I have much the same take as an outsider. Some people, Shanahan's pointing, pushing the kid into the spotlight for negative reasons. It was obviously more than missing a team meeting. It seems to me Shanahan, my take was he protected the kid a little bit. He nibbled around the edges, but he didn't, get specific. I mean, people can dig on that if they want. But this is a young player. You give him a little public tap on the wrist. You hope he takes it the right way and gets straightened out, because on the ice, the kid can play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And anyone, because it's funny, what I'm finding, especially like younger fans or a lot of people in the blogging community who are very smart and work really hard, and actually I read a ton of their work, I find they usually side with the player. And I find out more, I'm like, oh, poor Kadri. And I'm like, no, not poor Kadri, not at all. He put himself in this position. This wouldn't have been done if, he was acting like a professional all the time off the ice. It's not like Shanahan wants to do it. And it's not like Shanahan is your Tim Wiwicki guy that's all about bluster and doing press conference all the time. If Shanahan called this out, something obviously happened. And what you hope is that Kadri learns from this and realizes this is his last chance to do this in Toronto, to reinvent himself here in a city where I know it's tough to be a Leaf in Toronto, but when the team is winning, things are really good here. And you'll get more opportunities here. You'll get more commercials, advertising. You'll get more opportunities to be a star, to be known, to be a someone here than you would in, 75% of all other markets. All you have to do is look at Ty Domi and all the ads and the celebrity he came to be. So hopefully Kadri realizes he has an opportunity, and the team hasn't quit on him. It's now up to him.
Matt Cause from TSN 1050 joins us. You mentioned he's been one of their better players this year, and then obviously on a team that, you know, as bad as the Leafs have been,
Scamming with faint praise. Let's face it. Same thing in Edmonton, you know. And I heard you guys earlier, you know, talking about the scouting staff and who's the fault and with the draft and everything. It's funny. I hear your guys' conversations. I'm like, wow, it doesn't sound that much different from ours. If you look at even strength and you look at, you know, Kadri's been moved on the first line, the second line. He's had so many different teammates around him, and overall, he hasn't been the problem. He's had a decent year at the very least.
What, when you look at the Leafs, is the big issue? Like, is it culture? Is it lack of talent? What is it?
It's lack of talent, and you always hate to say that because lack of talent takes the most fixing. But it starts there. Now, culture is certainly part of it. Because if you look at this team at the beginning of the year, there's certainly more talent on this team for where their standings belie, which says lack of leadership. It says there's a lack of professionalism. Every night you hear the same thing. Well, we got to compete harder. You know, we just got to get out there and, you know, the same sort of cliches. But then if you take a step back, if you always hear the guys every night say we got to work harder, well, maybe it's not that they have to work harder. Maybe it's they're just not good enough. If I like to do my pie chart of blame, mostly because I like pie and I'm hungry when I'm on air. And the biggest slice goes to Brian Burke, goes to John Ferguson Jr., and goes to Dave Nonis. They still are the first guys responsible because they're the ones that put all the players on the ice. Second, it goes on the players. Third on, you know, the coaches and however you want to do it. But this still first goes about there's not enough talent on this team. And the second level, the leadership, if there was better leadership on this team, there you wouldn't see so many nights where the first line is floating.
Matt, I had a name in my head before you even said the word leadership, oddly enough.
Yeah.
Old topic, but daily fodder there. Dion Phaneuf. Mm-hmm. Is he the guy to stick around and oversee what's going to be a rebuild? And even if he's not, can you move that contract?
You know what? It's going to tell, for me, it tells a lot what happens in the playoffs. If you see a team like the Kings it depends. Who's the team in the playoffs that gets bounced early that feels they should have gone further and has some salary cap to play with? Those are going to be the teams that go after Phaneuf. Because at Phaneuf's age, you're not putting him on a rebuild. Phaneuf on a number two line would be dynamic. He would be great. And if I look at the team, you know, could Phaneuf have done more? Absolutely. But at the very least, he is a guy that looks like when he's out there, he does care. And he addresses the media, and he never hides from it. And I know that can be seen like not a very important quality anymore. We certainly devalue it. But I think there is still something to it. Like, he will come out, and when the team's doing bad, you know, at the very least, he will come and stand up for what happened. The problem is, he's not a number one center. He's not pure captain material. A lot of it was thrust on him. And in a salary cap world, when you hear the name Phaneuf, you then think about his contract and how much that hurts the rest of the team. But can you move his contract? It'll be difficult. But put it this way, David Clarkson got moved. If that can happen, anything is possible. I mean, really, like,
good
that
point.
That's the inspirational story. When you hear about that undrafted player who goes on to win the Super Bowl, you know, that's inspiration to other players who don't get drafted. David Clarkson getting traded, you know, is inspiration to every general manager that no matter how badly you screw up, you can find a way to fix it.
Well, Matt, I'm happy you said that because I never blame the player for the lunacy of the GM when they elect to say, geez, let's make this guy suddenly worth $6 million so he could transform himself and become a cornerstone of our franchise.
Well, you know what it is? As a fan, who do you see the most? You see the players the most. So that's where you get the most visceral reaction. That's where you get the most emotion. So that's usually where your blame is going to go. Because on the micro level and the emotional level, you blame the player. You see them on the ice. You see Kessel dogging it, JVR dogging it. You see Bozak basically, you know, just letting anyone in. Like, come on by. You want to take a shot at Bernier? I'll stand still. But you don't see as many shots of the general manager. You know, up in the press box, you'll see them for 8 to 10 seconds. They're usually looking gloomy. But then it goes on. So in terms of our blame, it's natural for us to blame the players first, and I get it. But big picture, when a team is failing, especially when a team is failing for as long as Toronto has, you have to look at management. You know, when you see that team that's uber talented and they just seem checked out and, you know, they don't win that many games, which you look at and go, oh, that guy's an all-star, that guy's an all-star. Well, then, you know, players should get it first. But for the Maple Leafs, the blame of players is inferring that they're better than what they are. They are, but as I mentioned earlier, they're certainly better when they're what their record is. So that's why they do deserve some of the blame, and leadership should be mentioned.
Matt, always great to talk to you. Before we end this hockey thing, the Jay, is their season over before it begins?
Well, I think the real problem is, once again, the city of Toronto decided to be built on an Indian graveyard, because this city could not be more cursed. Like, we live, this is like Poltergeist with sports. The problem with Marcus Stroman, him being lost, is A, a great guy. B, a guy you wanted to see how far could he develop. But C, this puts pressure on the old pitchers like Dickey and Burley. Can he give us 200 innings again?
Yeah.
And then you're putting a lot of pressure on Sanchez and Norris, two guys that are not older than 22 that have combined, have thrown less than 40 innings of baseball. How much pressure do you put on their young arms? That's the concern. It's the domino effect of losing Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, it's gonna, that really hurts. And it was brutal, especially in an infield drill.
Yeah, I know. And I'm bunting. Who bunts in the American League East? No one bunts. No one. If you try to bunt a guy to second, the whole city gets angry at you. It's like, what are you doing? The odds say that's not a good move.
Matt, great to catch up with you, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. You guys take care. Have a great rest of the show.